Hey guys, how we doing? We're back. Episode 2. It's John Anthony with the mic. You're listening to Chair Shot Sports. Let's hit the ring. Let's ring the bell. And let's get to work.
Yo, it's the mic here. Having a good time tonight, my man John Anthony.
The mic is finally in studio, away from his hiatus, from starring in all of the blockbuster films this year. Thank you for joining us again. Thank you for listening to Chair Shot Sports. We appreciate it. So at this time, I'm going to let my co-host, the co-pilot, the mic, just give a brief synopsis of who he is and what he's about. It's all yours, Mike.
You know, I'm about a million things, right? There's so many things to list. All of them are awesome. So I like to tell myself every day. But, you know, but what up, people? What's hanging? Some of you may know me as Mike Daniel or Mike the Mike. You may know me as the Mike as well. Put some steak on it. That's what we're going to be doing a lot. So we're going to have a lot of fun today. A lot of steak is going to go on it, especially this Sunday. We got Money in the Bank. There's going to be some SmackDown steak. Shout out to Pat McAfee.
All the steak.
SmackDown steak.
All the steak.
Medium rare steaks for everyone. But, you know, I've been a wrestling fan for pretty much my whole life. Sports fan. As a kid, you know, was pretty focused. I was going to make it to the NFL. I went back to one of my grade school yearbooks, and it said, you know, you remember in your yearbooks, it would be like, where do you see yourself in like 20 years?
Yep.
1999, 5th grade, Holden, Mass, Rice School. Rest in peace, Rice School. It's not, I mean, the building's still there, but now it's a fucking condo, something like that. Old people live there now.
All right.
Anyway.
We're not there, so you're good. You're still a little bit large, but you're not there yet.
Anyway, so mine said, what I see myself in like 20 years at that time, and it said, I saw myself playing for the Minnesota Vikings in the NFL, but as you can have it, life had different plans. Now my punk ass works at Jiffy Lube. That's how you go from the NFL to Jiffy Lube.
Cheap pop, if you need an oil change, come see the mic at the Jiffy Lube.
Or don't, because I hate my job. But,
or Valvoline, whatever you want to do.
But yeah, wrestling has been part of my life, football's been part of my life, sports have been part of my life. It's part of the mic, it's part of who I am, part of my personality, and we have a lot of fun. And also right now I do a little acting. Whenever I can.
When you say a little acting, you're being a little modest. I mean, Mike's been in a few movies. I don't know if he wants to drop where he's been in, but you know, you might have seen him on Netflix or a couple other places. It's not like little like straight to DVD kind of thing. So it's a little bit of a big deal. And he might have some other stuff in the works. So stay tuned.
I mean, maybe a little too kind, but yeah, I'll take the plug. Sure, why not? You can't say no to any plugs and positive positivity. I'll take the pat on the back. But anywho,
you gotta take it.
So yeah, we got this weekend. Money in the Bank. What Money Bank is this? Which one is this? This is like, since the Money in Banks have been like
Money
known,
in the Bank. Oh, since the become, inception of it, this of is
it, since it became its own pay per view.
What was the year? It was.
I want to say no. 2010. 2010.
When it started?
No, it started at 2005.
As a Mania.
As a
Mania
WrestleMania event. Exclusive.
Right.
And then 2010...
The brainchild of one Chris Jericho.
Yep. The Ayatollah Rock and Roll.
That's it.
Le Champion. So, it started 2010. They had that, the most god-awful one. WrestleMania 26, in my opinion, was probably one of the worst WrestleManias I've ever seen.
26?
26.
26
not
is
my
definitely
favorite.
Not up there in all of any of
with
the any
With
of
the
ranks.
Exception of HBK, Taker 2.
Other than that, it's not
it
much.
Was,
to,
it was a.
It like, wasn't worth the cost of admission.
It was.
I agree.
It was a sleeper mania. Especially the Money in the Bank at that year's WrestleMania had like fucking 12 guys.
If we're gonna talk about some of the worst Money in the Banks last year's. Now I get it's COVID. I get like everything's flying by the seat of their pants. Okay, but I got wrestlers being thrown off of like the Titan Towers. Okay, like what are we doing?
Why isn't Baron Corbin in jail?
He got what he wanted. Alistair, you know, ran over to AEW anyway, so yeah. He got that one. Mysterio pops up, loses an eye to Rollins. I mean, it's just I don't know, man.
Baron
like
Corbin threw Aleister Black off a building and he landed in AEW.
Yeah, exactly. He must have. And he even changed his name, too. It was that much of an impact. But yeah.
His only damage was his eye.
Yeah. Like, so, but last year's was okay, I guess. Like, I mean, you got to do what you got to do during a pandemic with no fans. I mean, yeah. Throwing it together, but.
I think a lot of people give WWE a lot of bad rep or a lot of crap just because of, you know, a lot of fans out there. They just want things to be so pinpoint perfect. I don't think there's many people who can just suspend their minds and just enjoy sometimes. I mean, if things like technically suck, sure, sucks.
Right.
But, you know, just enjoy for what it is or try to find some enjoyment.
Seth Rollins talked about it. He was on a podcast, I think. A year ago, maybe less than that, was definitely during the Thunderdome era. And he said, like, the fans these days just can't embrace the long game, the long storyline. Embracing, you know, let it maturate, let it just happen. They want, it's like a natural, they want the payoff, like, that week, the next week. There's no long game of let it just happen and watch the rivalry take place and things happen down the road. It's just like, oh, they want it now, next week. Oh, this is crap. Move on to the next one. Get rid of them. This is crap.
the
internet wrestling community has got to be one of the worst additions to, like the 2000s of, like, after the Attitude Era. It's ridiculous. Like, there's no kayfabe anymore. Nothing's a secret. Everything, you know, is just...
I would
just,
say probably after, a little after, what are we in? They call this, what, the reality era right now?
Or yes.
I would say whatever the era was immediately after the Ruthless Aggression era, once... things
that in between that little
once things started getting really, you know, when social media started really taking more shape of everything and technology started to advance itself and, you know, people could find stuff that should that happen or know what's going to happen and stuff like that, and a lot of times the fans, they want their favorite wrestler to have the best, to have they want them to be used, or have the best matches, and when they don't get the best matches, yeah, sure, fine. But they want to be so pinpoint perfect.
And right. Like, this wrestler's awesome in NXT. They get the call up, and it's like automatically go put him into the title picture, give him the title, have him the run. It's like, no, it's not how it works. Back in the day in Attitude Era, you know this. Like, you came, like, it wasn't even the developmental, and before FCW, before, like, you came in, you went up the line, you held the European. And then maybe a tag team. Then you went to Intercontinental. And then you worked your way up.
But it did, but it was a few guys where that was special, where within the first year. So, like, Angle. Angle came in, debuted, I believe it was World Rumble 2000. No, Taz did that.
It wasn't 2000. I can't remember.
When did Kurt Angle debut? It was... I want to say it was World Rumble. It was probably late 2009, early 2000. Because he definitely won the title in his first year. A couple of guys did.
Did he win it? Was it No Way Out he won it, or he defended?
It was No Mercy.
He defended at No Way Out against The Rock.
That was 2001. No. Yeah, he defended against
The Rock. I guess that's what I'm thinking of. Okay.
2000, No Mercy. He beat The Rock for the title with help via Rikishi, because I did it for The Rock.
No!
I did it for The Rock.
Yeah, I did it. I did it for the family.
How did he botch
so much? Kurt Angle actually debuted in 1999 at Survivor Series.
Right.
That was that. That's when he had hair. It was beautiful. That full, those luscious locks before the hair mash and getting shaved, going bald.
Oh, man. Yep. That was...
Bald Angle was awesome.
That was pretty hilarious. He would come out wearing, like, little wrestling...
The wig with the wrestling gear on top. Loved it.
The Angle machine, but...
Isn't... I love it now. It's great. The product isn't what it used to be. I mean, if you're someone who jumped on board now, I mean, you have AEW, you have Impact, you have Ring of Honor, you have WWE, you have, like, a little smorgasbord of things you want to watch.
I would say maybe I am probably a little biased for WWE because I've just been sold WWE for, like, a lot.
Forever. That's all I've known. Ever. For almost over 30 years, that's all I've known.
I think about it. I mean, there's been... When the Invasion angle happened, I was probably maybe 2.5-3 years into my WWE... WWF.
Bro, I was full blown marking out when Shane says he's now owns WCW. I'm like, what? I'm losing my mind.
When I started getting into WWE, I think it was probably late 99, early 2000 when I was starting to get to watch it, like, regularly.
Yep.
But before that, I was just me and my brother. We would just watch it whenever we'd catch it on. We had no idea what it was called. No idea what the name of the shows were. It was just like, whatever day we can just flip through channels sometime at night and we just see it on. We're like, okay, cool. We're watching it. And at that time, you remember when you watched the TV Guide channel, you heard like your channel would scroll up on the screen.
You gotta run back into the room. I missed it! It goes by. You gotta wait 20 minutes.
You gotta wait for a while for it to come back around. So that's how.
There's people right now listening to this going, "What are they talking about?" And I'm like, "Be glad you don't know that." And rotary phones, you don't want them anymore. Be glad you have cell phones.
Yeah. So for anyone who is listening to this, you know, these are just who don't know what the '90s were like. So you youngins out there,
yeah, right.
Living and growing up in the '90s, those were one of the things we had. TV Guide channel, so you would. To find out what your favorite TV show was called, or whenever your shows were came on, you would go to channel, I believe it was like 22.
Mine was channel 1.
Channel 1?
Channel 1.
I used channel 1 to go to like video games.
That was channel 3.
No, that was channel 3. Yeah.
That's 3. Universally, that's 3. Unless you had rabbit ears, and I guess those
it would be like channel 3, and then you'd use your VCR, and sometimes you press like play and stuff.
You had to go in the back and move the cords around and plug, and then your mom would get mad because she wakes up in the morning, doesn't have cable, and you're at school, and you gotta walk them through and plug it back in.
But, yeah, that's what we did. And then sometimes you fall asleep. You would fall asleep on your couch in the 90s, and you'd wake up to fucking like. Those commercials, what is it?
The greatest hits of Celine Dion. Yeah. Right now, if you call for $50, you get 400 CDs of this.
Oh, I just saw this really hilarious meme on like Instagram just recently. It was, you know, the scene from the movie Monsters Inc. where I think it's like the end of the movie where like the kid's like sleeping, whatever, and he wakes up and like one of the monsters trying to tell like a stand up comedic joke or whatever. This particular meme, the kid's sleeping. And he wakes up, and then it's his TV. And on his TV is like the intro to the George Lopez show.
No! That too, I've woken up to that. I've been woken up to that too.
The lowrider music.
So,
anyway, back to the wrestling. Yeah, I started in like 99 or something like that when I started really getting into it. It was really cool because I remember there were days where like if you came into school on Tuesday morning. And you did not watch Raw, you were a loser.
I watched wrestling growing up in like middle school, and I have a lot of friends. And like when I got to high school, I got in this clique, and it was all wrestling all the time. It was my first event in high school. Like that's when I really like got immersed in it.
Right,
And as we go on, we're gonna have video. We're gonna have this stuff. You're gonna see the belts that I have hanging around my house. It looks like a WWE warehouse in my man cave. It's ridiculous.
180 from my place.
Bro. Like you know,
my place has a couple Seven Dust posters.
Sometimes it's all you need.
They were good though.
And Baxter, don't forget about Baxter.
No,
he's there too. But it's like that's when I got immersed in it, and it was like I feel that like you came in Monday and it was like you walked in and there was 20 like all of us were around you. Did you see what happened with the Rock did? And you're like no, and you're like how do you not know? And he like it was just.
And for me, it sucked because sometimes there were days where I'd come home from school and we didn't have cable. My mom didn't want to pay the cable bill, so like when I grow up, you'd have cable for a good like.
Did you watch
month,
the squiggles?
Month and a half, 2 months. The squiggles. The squiggle. Didn't watch the squiggles.
Everyone watched the squiggles.
They used to. I was telling this story recently to somebody. I forget who it was. But the squiggles. If you know what the squiggles are, like Google it.
Google the squiggles on TV squiggles and Google it. It'll give you an 90s answer.
90s TV squiggles. Sometimes
maybe now it's a rapper.
They would play on the WWE pay-per-view events on some of those squiggle.
Oh, that's why you needed the black box. The black box you needed back in the day. Like it like opened up everything to you. Skinamax, HBO, your pay-per-views, boxing fights, like, because UFC wasn't big back, like, when I was younger. I don't think about you either.
I
blew up, like, I think currently, but.
I have vivid memories of, I can, like, listen to the TV really, really clear, and it was just a squiggled, messed up, distorted channel, and I remember watching, Judgment Day 2000, pay-per-view.
Oh, wow. Like,
and sometimes it would stop and be picture-perfect clear for a solid 3 to 5 seconds.
Like best 3 to 5 seconds of the night. And you're
every
like,
every like 10 minutes or like 5 minutes, it would be really picture clear perfect. And I would just watch. I just watched that, but I listened to it and saw. And also made me think like listening. It's a different time kind of experience. Like listening to wrestling, but not seeing it. Because you just hear the crowd go, oh, oh. Or you hear like a smash of the stairs. And then,
yeah.
Like, or you hear JR like. Oh my god! What just happened? You don't know what's going on, whatever like that.
You gotta wait for the commentators to tell you what happened.
Yeah, wait till like the next night on Raw to see like what you missed.
That's when commentary was an art, man. You're talking Joey Styles, JR, The King, like yeah. That kind of stuff. Taz was amazing. Michael Cole
was so amazing.
Now you got Pat McAfee. That guy's a throwback. If I gotta say something about commentary before we get Money in the Bank, like, that guy's a throwback. Like, he's not even a heel. He just, like...
He's just a character.
Yeah, he's like the wrestling guy who can't wrestle. He's injured for a year, like CM Punk was. He wants to get behind the desk on the mic, and he wants to just be funny and just be, like, elaborate. The guy's awesome.
He's hilarious. He was, like, dancing on the
stuff. He was dancing on Michael Cole's head. Two in the Thunderdome 2 episodes ago, like twerking on his head. You're not gonna see JR doing that with King.
No.
And if you did, it's not gonna be pretty.
Yeah, we got a little off topic a little bit, but anyway, so we got Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. So let's talk about it. So, all right. So this year, first one, we got fans now, so we're a little bit back to normal. So, let's start at the bottom, work our way up. Not seeing any matches are better than the other, but let's just start somewhere and go from there. Well, let's start with the Women's Money in the Bank match. So we got Asuka, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Ash. We're going to talk about that character at some point, because I think that's... They all talk organic. That's her own idea. Like, she came up with that. Liv Morgan, Zelina Vega, Natalya, and Tamina. Those are your participants.
How in the hell did Tamina and Natalya Tamina get in there?
Dudes, man. Hey, man, listen, when that's your name on the door, I'm not trying to say that's the reason, but Snuka and Hart, yeah. Those are some big names to have, I mean, to back you up. So let's just go with picks right off the top.
I always have two picks.
Okay, that's not bad. Let's get a backup.
There's the one that I want and the one that I'm pretty sure that will.
Will, right. Okay.
The one that I want, I'm picking Alexa Bliss. Only because, one, I love fucking Alexa Bliss. Two, I think her character now is evolving and such to be more, because you see her more now in the ring. How many matches has she wrestled in the last, like, year? 2 years, maybe.
A lot of playground stuff on the swing.
A lot of stuff with Bray Wyatt. Yep. And now we're seeing her do a lot more because now the fans are back, so they were probably just warming her up so she'd get ready to be back in front of the fans. So no more, like, mid-match costume changes or anything like that.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, which was cool. I thought all that was kind
of
cool.
That's the thing I'm going to miss with the Thunderdome. Like, there was a lot of cool things they did like that, and it's like
take advantage of these opportunities. Right. Yeah, we can do this now. So
now we should have a boatload of... virtual augmentation, like, all over the ring.
Right.
So Alexa Bliss is who you want to win.
That's who I want to win.
Okay.
But the pick who I feel like will win, which I'm not against, will be Liv Morgan. I think they're building Liv Morgan up to have a really good, solid push. And I think when you look at the field, like, who could, like, deserve it? Who probably deserves it most at this point in their career? Who deserves it, needs it? What will the fans want? What would probably sell them?
Right, right, right.
They've been building Liv Morgan up because they gave her her own special, her own documentary on the network.
Yep.
Sarah and Ruby are gone, long gone. Not long gone. I mean, Sarah's been long gone. So the
Ruby spot. Just debuted with Impact. Actually,
she did?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. She debuted with Impact.
Good for her.
I'm on the dirt sheets. I learned from the Miz. I'm on it.
But we looking at who else we got. Asuka and Naomi. Naomi would be not a bad pick as well, but Asuka won it last year, so I don't see her winning it.
I feel the
same.
And
she's been in the title picture quite often. Naomi's been a while for Naomi, but I think she lost a bit of her star power over the last few years and months or so.
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss and the whole thing with The Fiend and Bray Wyatt, that's been extremely popular.
Mm-hmm.
Liv Morgan has always had her own popularity, I feel. Nikki Ash is still a working process.
That is, I love it. I think it's awesome. I love when someone goes to creative and they say, this is what I want to do. And they're like, have at it, man. Go knock yourself out. And that's her own thing. So, but I agree with you. Yeah, that's definitely a work in progress.
Zelina Vega, that's just way too early. Fine, but that'd be one of the things that a lot of fans would
unless it was included when she came back and they were like, we'll give you a little, you get that little push. Yeah. But I think she'd be one of the ones. So the women haven't had a cash that hasn't won yet. I feel like if that was the case, she'd be the first one. Like, yeah, you're going to get it, but you're not going to win this time.
That'd be fair.
Exactly.
and then this Natalya and Tamina. They're already the women's champion, and they don't need exactly. They don't need a damn. They don't need.
Yeah, you don't need
champ.
It. Like you don't need anything. Like you, yeah. So the funny thing is, me and Mike don't talk about these picks. We don't like collaborate. I feel exactly actually the same way you do. Bliss is who I want to win, but I feel like Morgan's gonna win. But on the flip side of what you're saying, you have two picks. I always have the third pick, of where the left field, Vince is sitting at the meeting. Probably what time is it now? It's if you're on the East Coast, it's like 10. It's 5 of 10. Vince is sitting creative right now, looking at this and going, "What can I do to throw these guys up? Because it's such good shit. Like seriously. So I'm thinking like, oh.
And also remember, there are times where. Maybe seconds before they even come out to start the match, they switch the plans.
Oh yeah, finishes the same except this. You knock her off, and you're gonna grab the belt. Yep. I mean, you're gonna grab the briefcase. Mm-hmm. That is either gonna be Vega, or they're gonna give it to Ash for whatever reason, but to just because maybe she went on the limb and they felt they wanted to help. I don't know, but I feel the same way though. I feel like Bliss should win it. That's why I want to win, but I really think it's going to be Liv Morgan's shot.
Yeah.
It's going to be her time to shine. As much as every week she's out there, she's been fighting for it. She's beaten Carmella multiple times. She's out there earning it.
You're building it up.
You know, up in Deville's face, trying to get into the match. Finally gets in, almost like defying.
I actually saw or read something that there was a strong push to try to get Sonya to be in it.
There was some rumors about Sonya. Obviously, everyone is. It's imminent. I don't know what's going to happen, but the man's going to come back around. Becky Lynch, she's working out. She's ready to go. She will be backstage tomorrow, but that's a lot of people are just saying because that's because Seth is in the match and she's just there for support and to see some friends. I honestly don't think tomorrow next night. I'm thinking maybe the drafts got pushed back maybe like to October now. I don't think you're going to see her come. I don't think you're going to see her.
Unless they pull some kind of crazy thing where like one of them gets injured backstage. You know who? We don't know who. Who hurt who?
Well, who was she hurt though? So out of that list before she left, I mean, I really don't know who she would really attack. I mean, it's not like an old school, like an old rivalry from before she went out. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was like Nia Jax, I'd be like, oh, all day, boom, she's going to knock her out and get in the ring. But yeah, I feel the same way. I think that's why I think Bliss should win it. But I feel like they're gonna give it to Morgan. I'm totally on the same page with that.
So we put some steak on Morgan?
I'm putting steak on Morgan.
Steak on the Morgs. Steak on Morgan.
Alright, so we're gonna go to the second match. Who we got? We got AJ Styles at Amos. Which I don't know what this is. Oh, I'm sorry.
Omos.
Guess what? It's not gonna matter how I pronounce it, because after he's done winning this title. See ya! He's getting endeavored, I'll tell you right now. And then against the Viking Raiders for the tag team titles. This is interesting. The Viking Raiders have actually gone through a really big like transformation. They came out hot when they came up from NXT, you know, when they called them the War Raiders. And finally Vince was like, oh, I screwed that one up. Okay, back to the Viking Raiders. Then they were just like doing games and playing around with the Street Profits. Yep. Kind of comic relief. And then I feel like this run they're doing now that they're healthy, not injured, they're legit. Like they're booking them legit, winning matches and actually coming in strong that they were in NXT.
Yeah, looking at them look like an actual threat.
Right, exactly. And AJ Styles has said like he knows what his place right now in the roster is. He knows he's not, you know, trying to go for the world championships. He knows, you know, he's here to just kind of help the future and things like that.
AJ Styles is just enjoying his time.
That's what it is, too. He said, because they're like, you're going to sign. He signed a 5-year deal. You're going to sign after. And he's like, I don't know.
Did he resign? Or?
No, he said right now he's going to retire. I feel like you're going to see him jump into a promotion with the Good Brothers and maybe do one more run. But that's just me. But my pick, I have the Viking Raiders going over on this. I think this is their time. I think you're going to see them. Like, they can be dominant here. It's a statement win. I'm not saying it's going to be a squash. But I think, you know, You isolate you basically leave it to AJ Styles to run the match. He'll run the gauntlet, go against pretty much a 2-on-1 the whole time, and eventually it just won't be enough and Raiders go over. That's my thought.
Right. You know, I'm gonna go with AJ and Omos.
Okay.
AJ and Omos. I think I think their tag team is very dynamic and very entertaining and very, you know, I don't want to say like brutal is not the word for it, but Omos is kind of
I like the economy of it. I like it. I do agree with that. No, I do.
Their dynamic is definitely something to behold. And I think it's kind of early. I think it's early for them to to drop the title. They went at WrestleMania, then they were gone for like what, 2 months?
Which was weird. No one was hurt. There was no COVID. It was weird. I think people start talking about it. Like it became a social media thing, and then the next like Raw, like boom, they pop up, and I'm like, that was weird. They RKO'd it like out of nowhere, just boom, popped right back up, and I'm like, okay, great.
And other than the New Day, I think their only program has just been with the Viking Raiders. So I think there's still opportunity for them to show, establish themselves as a dominant tag team. So I think they're going to keep it.
Okay.
Have a fantastic match at SummerSlam. Really good to see some kind of triple threat tag team match.
For SummerSlam? Who would you have for the triple threat? Who would you have as a third team?
Let's keep Omos and AJ with the Viking Raiders. Third team.
Who's the third team?
Street Profits, maybe?
No. You know who's underrated right now, and I don't know what's going on personally with him right now, but RK-Bro. You want to talk about a program of like natural, natural chemistry?
Actually, that could even be the SummerSlam match, just AJ and Omos and RK-Bro.
I could see that. Them going over and Riddle getting that title, because
That's probably what they're going to build to.
I don't even know what's going on with Orton right now. Like, I've looked. It's not even an injury. It's nothing. I don't know what's going on. His wife didn't have a baby.
And just sort of record, I think RK-Bro has been probably the most refreshing thing on Raw.
It was put together. It was literally, they fought, and from what I've seen or read, like, it was literally a thing of, like, Orton was like, you know what? Give me the kid. Like, give me him. I want to do this. And it was like, it's so good.
I think it's so hilarious.
It's not even cringeworthy. You're like, ugh, but you're like, it's so good to watch.
It's the most hilarious thing. Riddle's so damn funny. When he wrote the sick letter, his the doctor's note.
Yes. That was... Or the key. Like, don't talk. Don't talk about throwing away that key. And he's just like, I got nothing until he gives me the key.
See, these are moments. See, these types of storylines... These types of things with certain wrestlers, you can tell they're, especially with a veteran like Randy, and they're just having a good time. Like,
yeah.
Both just having a good time.
Yeah.
Probably, I can imagine what they're talking about before the show goes on air, like what ideas they got, let's just do this, let's do that.
Well, they're a caterer, he's just like chilling, hanging out, and he's just like throwing shit at him, like throwing against the wall, spitballing. What would be really weird in the ring? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take all your moves. I'm going to RKO people. I'm going to get them off the ropes. I'm going to do vintage. And they're like, he's like, yeah, do it. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, go ahead and do it. Yep. Like, that's, I love it. So, okay, so Viking Raiders over here.
The mic's got AJ and Omos.
Okay. AJ. All right. He's putting his stake on the champs to retain. Alright, so next up,
Lashley and Kofi.
No. Actually, Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. I'll let you take the lead on this one because I got a rant. I got a rant ready, so I'll let you take the lead on this one before I go.
I think this one might be kind of tough. This one may be tough because only because it's Money in the Bank. I feel like if a SummerSlam would be kind of different, but I think this story is nearing its end. It's getting kind of boring. I gotta be honest.
I'm gonna let you go because I got a lot to.
I got a few more things. I'm gonna give it to Charlotte. I'm gonna pick Charlotte in this one.
Oh, what are you doing? Come on,
I'm gonna pick Charlotte.
Oh.
But I think this is gonna sound really crazy. Mm-hmm. I think I said this online, which would not be that bad. Mm-hmm. I swear, not to offend anybody, but I. I see how Rhea.
Careful, man. So second episode. We don't want to get canceled for two episodes. Come on, man.
I see how Rhea and Charlotte look at each other, and I'm like, are they lean this to like a lesbian storyline or something? Yeah.
Listen, Rhea's a good looking chick. I'm just saying, like she rocks it, man.
I'd be all for it.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm with it. Like,
I mean,
damn.
See how like Charlotte just looks at Rhea. I mean, if you go back to some of the clips the last couple of weeks. You know,
I see it. I'm not gonna. You're not wrong.
Just look at the eyes.
It's all in the eyes, bro.
It's all in the eyes. It's like I know how that stuff works and whatever. But yeah, I'm picking Charlotte. Why? You know, I don't know. Just I don't know where they're gonna go after this. Like, what are they gonna like? What's? I mean, they're not gonna do any DQ or disqualification finishes or DQ and disqualification or countouts or something. But
They could. I mean, that's typical WWE. By the way, can we talk about the strongest move right now? I don't care what your finisher is. The strongest move right now in WWE is the inside cradle. That is the strongest move going right now in WWE.
Dude, sports entertainment.
Dude, nobody beats it. I don't care what your finisher is. F5, yeah, get out of here. Inside cradle, done.
Shout out to Simon Miller.
Yeah, right? Jeez.
All yours.
Okay, so I got a problem. I got a problem with programming. I got a problem with Charlotte Flair. She can't be in any kind of storyline that doesn't involve this title. Look at her entire career. She always has been in the title picture. Like, Ripley paid her dues. She had a hell of a run in NXT. She's got the look. She's got everything. The mic skills. Okay, mic skills. On a scale of 1 to 10. If it was 1 out of 5 stakes. 1 out of 5 stakes, probably a 3.5. But still, though, it's always Charlotte, the title, or nothing. Like, she goes away, comes back, title. Goes away, comes back, title. Beating up the person with the title, going away. It just bothers me that she's always going in, and I just get upset that... I hope, obviously, Rhea wins. She's one of my favorites. But if Charlotte were to win this, it's like... I don't care that she's a Flair. I get it. Because if there's one thing she doesn't have that Rick had, Rick knew how to give the title up. He's a 16-time champion. You know what that means? He lost it 16 times. He knew how to put someone over. He knew how to, like, grow it for the business to put that person up because it was their time. Charlotte is always like, the title's mine. I need to be in the spotlight. I need it. Like, it stinks.
That's a great point.
You know what I'm saying? I don't hate her. I think she's great. I love her mic skills.
I'm really thinking, like, what's other feud that she's been in that wasn't
There's none.
Close or been without the title?
Go back and look. I was talking to my wife.
I mean, stuff with Becky.
But that was... Was that when she was the Becky Two Belt though?
No, before when they had their
when they
match,
first came
when
up
they had their match at Evolution.
Okay.
What was that? They had like was that just a TLC match? Who was the champion at the time?
I don't remember.
Ronda Rousey was champion. She main evented that against Nikki Bella.
Okay. There was so if there's a one or two, that's it. But like that's like, but it's the payoff of okay, we're gonna put you in this match, you're gonna defeat her, but then what happens next program next yeah. night? Walks out on the champion the next night.
I think because also like when you look at the women's division, you got Charlotte, and in so many ways it's like yeah, I mean people may dislike. I think Charlotte. She's not my favorite, but I do like Charlotte. She is really damn good.
She hits all the bullet points. She's great on the mic. She can wrestle. Her moves are great.
I'm trying to think like I'll try to separate. Is it like Vince playing her, building up the way she is, or is she actually like really talented, really good? Which I think it's a mixture of both.
Yep.
Because then at the same time, I'm looking at like the rest of the rosters, like who can challenge like Charlotte? You know, Charlotte's making everyone else look good. Like
Rhea's definitely one person who can carry that torch, though. Yeah. I mean, obviously when Becky comes back, whatever brand she goes to, I'm gonna guess SmackDown. Yeah. Because they like to put couples together nowadays.
Becky, Sasha, Bayley.
Yeah,
Bayley's gone. Bayley's gone for 9 months.
Yeah, which sucks. Because I'm not gonna lie. I mean, if I like the new Bayley, I've been waiting for it. I was there, Money in the Bank, when she won it and cashed in, and that whole gimmick just got soft. And when she came out as a heel, I love it. I think it's great. It's almost like your stereotypical Karen. Like I don't want to offend anybody. I'm just saying, like it's that person who. They don't get their way. They complain. It's everyone else's fault. Like, even her injury. I'm not here because of you. I was getting ready for you. I was trying to be better for you. That kind of... Even in injury, she's still selling it. Like, The Miz going out every week with ACL. He's still going out there in a wheelchair with Johnny Drip Trip.
Johnny Drip Trip.
For real. Again, Johnny... Oh, it's awesome stuff. But yeah, I think... I got Rhea Ripley, like, going ahead. I think she needs to have a long run. Set herself as someone, like, down the road. So when she does drop it... She can go on as someone who's okay. That's someone that when she gets back into that title picture, that's someone like, oh crap, I don't want her in. I don't want her coming near me. Like, that's someone I fear. But just to get, like, to have a couple matches, then Flair go over at Money in the Bank, and then you know she's not gonna lose it, like, at SummerSlam or Survivor Series. She's gonna carry that to Mania. And I don't want another 7 months of Charlotte Flair throwing her title in my face. And if my thing is, if Charlotte does win it, I think the payoff is gonna be Becky coming back. You see Becky and Charlotte,
but what if you think they'll do this again for the third time? That whoever wins the Women's Money in the Bank cashes in on Charlotte or Rhea.
That is true. Night. That is true.
First one to do that was Alexa. Alexa did that on Naya.
It was Naya, yep. Alexa did that on Naya. And then it was Bailey did it on her.
And then Bailey did it on...
On Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Yep. Which was amazing, by the way. You've never, like, if you've never been to Money in the Bank, like, that was my first one. And when someone to have a cash in happen when I was there, like, I've heard pops, like, it's crazy when they run out the briefcase. Like, it was the roof went off the joint in Hartford. It was crazy. Like, and then for them to win, it was just like, but no, that's also true too. Like, that could happen. I really hope they let Rhea win this. It ends it, like you were saying. I mean, over and over and over. And Charlotte kind of finds another, like, avenue to go for a little bit until she goes back to the title picture, and then Rhea finds somebody else fresh, because the draft is coming up in October, so hopefully they bring some people over, some people from NXT or SmackDown or whatnot, things like Rhea and Sasha. I'd like to see that. That's something I think would be, it's a wicked dichotomy of two different wrestlers, like style wise and, like, you know, the whole, the gimmick wise you're talking two totally different people. I think that would be awesome, but that's just me. All right, so you're taking...
I'm going with Charlotte.
You're going with Charlotte. Yeah. You putting your stake on Charlotte?
Putting the stake on Charlotte.
All right, I'll take Rhea. Champion's going to retain. All right, here's the big one. Your tribal chief, Roman Reigns, is putting that big title on the line against the Rated R Superstar, Edge. I'm going to come right out with it, man. Your tribal chief, not going to be denied. He's going to come out on top.
I'm going to ride that train well. I'm on Roman.
You're on Roman too? I can't. I mean, again, me and Mike, I mean, obviously, like, we watch it, but we're into it. We look down the road. It's not just, you know, day-by-day episodes. Like, we're talking about it. Like, Reigns, this has to culminate at WrestleMania somehow with Dwayne, with The Rock, like, humbling this guy.
I don't see Roman having the title again that long until then. I see Reigns dropping it, probably. I think
he'll run into Mania?
I don't think he'll have
it. No! Who's going to take... Okay, so aside from tonight. Tomorrow night, Edge. Who takes it off of him? That's the question.
I'm not sure. It can't be The Rock.
It's not... But why not? The Rock has always said he has one more run before he literally becomes like that Hulk. That's why he's not inducted.
I don't think The Rock...
He's got one run before he Hall of Fames it, alumni's it, and he's like... That guy who comes out once a year, like that Taker used to. Hey, I'm here for a match. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm not selling Zoas. My tequila's good, and I have a movie to make. So, you know,
I don't think The Rock needs the title. I think his career is already established. He's already in the Hall of Fame.
Bar none. Like,
I think
first ballot in.
I think Roman will make. He will eclipse a year. He'll probably make it.
Well, he eclipses a year, I think. If he wins it tomorrow night, by I think somewhere in August, before SummerSlam.
No, a little after. He's
at three.
He's at 40, I think.
Is it
40 or
50? Okay.
Because he won it Payback last year, which was announced like a week,
just so you guys know. Hey, Roman's in the match. Like, what the fuck?
We're having a pay per view next week, like, the week after SummerSlam. So another pay per view. Just to have Roman win the title. But in a match he wasn't even in. I mean, he was in the match, but he didn't show up until the last.
Love it. You gotta love it though.
3 minutes. And I was thinking, is that what they're?
This match, I gotta say, like, I hated Roman Reigns, man. I hated this dude. I felt like you can ask my wife. Yes, my friend. I've told you, like, this guy was shoved. I'm like, this is the new John Cena. This guy is literally just love him. Oh, he's such good shit. Love him. Oh my god, I love Roman Reigns. He's rocking a big dog in his shorts. Like, Vince loved this guy. For him to come back and just, like, literally be him, it's Joe.
They pushed
the It's light. Joe they with the volume turned up, and yeah. It's him. He's like, screw wrong. You, I hate all of you, you booed me, guess what? Screw you, I hate you too, and this is my belt, look at me, and I'm the best.
This is Roman's, like, greatest run, I think, allowed him to be him now. See, heel Roman's...
The coolest thing, too, is, I think when he finally, it's gonna happen, obviously, when he turns back... It's going to be even more special. It'll be even more over now because everyone's like, ooh, we loved him as a heel. Oh my God, he's a face now. Like, people are going to love that.
That's how it's always worked with the best top dog heels. You think of Austin and you think of Rock, they come to mind easily. And maybe Cena a little bit. You know, a lot of those guys, all three of those guys.
Still waiting for the heel turn.
They were heels.
Still waiting for that big heel turn to come in.
Cena was a heel when he first came in.
Oh, I know. No, trust me. Yeah. I know. I was a big Dr. Thugonomics fan. That's when I loved him. When he turned and he went face, I'm like, no, I hate this.
When he went face as being young, being like, I was like 14, Yeah, I was like, no. Yeah, I was like 14, 15.
Yep.
Maybe 12, 13, somewhere around there. When Cena went face, and I thought it was awesome when he won the title against JBL. In one of the worst matches in WrestleMania history.
It was all... Dude, that, can we talk? That was ugly, man. Like, there's people in the back, like, just with their hands in their palms, like, oh, can this be over?
It's just, that match was just... That match was literally 98% JBL and 2% John Cena. Like, how do you just, like, beat someone's ass?
JBL just rolls up. John Cena's just like, boop. AA, boom, you're done. It's over.
That same old formula that's changed over time. It's the formula that always worked. That was the Hulk Hogan formula. Get beat up all match and then do the three moves of doom, whatever. Then,
well, speaking of Hulk Hogan, though, you want to talk one of the most epic, like, turns of, like, you want, like, him going when he went NWO. At Bash the Beach, when he did that turn, like, no one saw that coming. Like, you want to talk about left field. People were calling in and writing into their providers at that time because you had to pay $77 to see that shit. They wanted their money back. Because Hogan turned heel. That's how pissed people were back in the day. Like, that's a heel turn.
I wonder if anyone actually got their money back.
Somebody probably did. I didn't. My dad didn't. Like, he was probably pissed off. But
back to
but Roman. No, but Roman, but I think, like you said, this is one of his greatest runs. I think the creative is genius. Paul Heyman is just that little piece that if you're like, oh, Roman, you're like, oh, I hate Paul Heyman. That's just that little piece, too. But I have him going over. I think he's going to carry it all the way to Mania, whether it be The Rock. Or so I think you're going to give him that extended run.
It's a long run.
But think about it. So, right now, real quick, off the top of our head. So, last night was what, 315, you said?
Like 340, 370, somewhere
so,
there.
No, it wasn't. No.
340, 350, somewhere there. Mm, they said it last night.
It wasn't 340. It was like 3. I feel like it was in the teens. But it's over 300. It's over 300. So, let's say it went to me. What was it? August, September, October, November, December. January, February, yeah. March. You're talking 8 months of at least 30 days. That's 240 more days. That puts him at 600-something days. I mean, it doesn't really put him high up on, like, the hierarchy of holding the title. It doesn't beat... Well, how long was Punk's run?
Punk's was, I think, 413.
All right, so he jacks him out. I mean, there would have to be a reason for him to hold that. I mean, obviously, put him up there, make him legitimate, and how, like... I just feel like The Rock is the end-all, be-all. You know, Heyman, they alluded to it before Edge came back. Right. There's nobody left. I mean, you got rid of Daniel Bryan, who's probably going to AEW. We'll talk about that at some point, probably next episode. Yep. There's nobody on the roster besides someone outside who we're not thinking of. It's not gonna be Goldberg. He's not taking it off of Roman.
If they do have a match, there's rumors of him coming back to have.
Oh, that's happening Monday night. Oh, and Lashley again is gonna smash him. Lashley's gonna smash him and keep going.
Roman, actually on the website, Roman's been champion for 320 days.
320 days. So we add 8, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 20,
21
so 200,
days.
240 more days, so that would be 561. So that's not really, I mean, it's not significant history-wise.
Yeah.
But it would make him legit, holding it all the way to Mania.
That's why I think it'll make him legit to get the victory over Edge.
But you got to think who gets the rub. Who takes it off of Roman? If you take it off of Roman, you got to take that ball and you're not just running. You're Usain Bolt down the road with that ball. Like, you are getting the ultimate prize of, like, yeah, for real, dude. You are getting the here you go, kid. Go get it. I don't think there's anyone right now on either of the rosters that can really...
Whatever Roman's done with it. Roman's just going to be like, you know what? I think I'm good. I've had my fill. I have my fill, guys.
No, I agree. But he's loving it right now. I mean, he's... I don't know.
Takes it off Roman.
So if it was say the
how many Edge? I mean,
Edge is the only answer, but it's too early. Unless you call a rematch, unless Edge wins the Rumble, unless Edge wins it again. That's the only thing you can see in front of fans.
Did you know Edge is the only one to win the Rumble two times and not win the title at WrestleMania?
I did not know that.
He is.
That's a thing.
That's a thing.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
I did not know that.
He won the Rumble twice. Yikes. And did not win the title.
Well, he got a lot of money in the bank cashing, so he's a good guy. I mean, he got him on that angle.
2010, he won. I forget who he eliminated last in the Royal Rumble, but he won the Royal
this
Rumble.
This past year?
2010.
Oh, okay. My bad.
I forget who he eliminated last in the Royal Rumble in 2010. Might have been Cena. I don't know. But anywho, then he went and faced Chris Jericho, WrestleMania 26, and he lost to Jericho. And then this year he won it, and then lost to Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns.
Cause guess what Roman did?
Stacked him.
He smashed him.
Smashed him.
He stacked him, and he pinned him. They made a damn T-shirt out of that, man. But yeah, no. Yeah, I just I think I got Roman on the long. I got him on the long game, man. It was John Cena in 2010. It was John Cena. He did throw him out. Yep. Where was that Rumble in 2010? Was that wasn't MSG? Was it?
No, that was.
I'm thinking when Cena came back. He made the early comeback. Yeah,
that was 2008. But yeah, so I'm going Roman, and I can see they're building up Edge versus Rollins.
Oh yeah, that's not a SummerSlam. I'd better check on that. That's SummerSlam all day. And if Rollins didn't get involved in the match tomorrow night, I'd be shocked. Mm-hmm. If he didn't come down,
technically, like this year's Summer, they're treating SummerSlam, I think this year, as like their biggest event. WrestleMania was their biggest event, but WrestleMania was great. WrestleMania was fine for what we had.
For what it was, I think it was great. They did what they did, man. Like, it's all you can do.
Yeah, the rain delay, half the time travel was all destroyed. Because of the wind. That's what it is.
Who needs sales, right? Whatever. Yeah. It's all good.
They had like 25% fans. It seemed dark. Like, really dark.
Yeah, for the lighting wise, you're like where's... hello? Hello? Like, there's nobody out there.
The whole stadium was just off, and then just like...
They didn't want you to see how many people weren't there. They're like, oh, there's some people. We got people in the front. That's about it. Like, oh, okay, great. Yeah, that's cool.
But, so... WrestleMania was fantastic. It was good. But I think this year they have full capacity. And they announced going to the new Raiders stadium, Allegiant Stadium. And I thought, when I see new NFL stadiums being built, especially domes, first thought is Vince wants WrestleMania.
Vince is like, he's already made a phone call. Like, Mania, I'm going to be there next year when that's built. Like, he's in, boo. He's like, doomed. I'm in, WrestleMania, man. We're going.
I thought WrestleMania would definitely be there 1 year. Maybe it will be, but they're doing SummerSlam there, so it's like, all right, cool, this is going to be our first major event.
Yep, absolutely. So one of the big four. Yep.
They're going to treat it like WrestleMania level, which is fantastic.
The pops will be huge. You know, they'll have surprises. They've already said the rest of this year, like, because the live...
My personal opinion, I just want them to keep Cardi B away from it, like far, far away from it.
So far. Like, wherever it is, keep her on the opposite side of the globe, whatever altitude that is, keep her on the other side of that. Just like, I just... Like,
far away from it.
I'm all about the guest host, but right now, I think you need to focus on your wrestlers. You need to focus on you. Bring that stuff in later. Like, worry about that in 2022. Don't do that now. Like, now is not the time.
But, I'm picking Roman for this match. I think it's going to be a fantastic match. I think Money in Bank is looking up to be, like, real fire, because it's the first pay-per-view with fans... So they're gonna go all out.
And from Stephanie's mouth, and from they do have surprises, quote unquote, planned. So I'm sure you'll see someone debut. I'm not saying it's Becky Lynch, but men's like to my knowledge. But Lesnar, he's not in until after SummerSlam, which is why you get Goldberg on Monday. Allegedly. You never know what could happen right now. With everything going on, you don't know who's doing what, what's going on. But would I love to hear Lesnar's music jam out? Yes, that'd be amazing. I'm not a big I saw him win the O3 Royal Rumble, which is amazing. I saw him in Springfield. I grew up in Western Mass. I saw him as Ron H2O Waterman. That was his name, Ron H2O Waterman. He's on the docket, and I'm like, Dad, who the hell is that? And this big dude came out. This was the way of the back tattoo. Nothing else. And I'm like, okay, big dude. He squashed the guy in the main event. It was like 30 seconds. And then like some other dude came out, beat him, whatever. And then obviously kept going. And I'm like, that's Brock Lesnar. But I think Brock is what you need right now. And Brock he's gone on and said that now he understands, like, he needs to help for the future. Mm-hmm. He's not here to just smash him, stack him. Like, he's here to, like, listen, I want to win, but if I got to put a guy over.
Brock is actually a real nice guy.
He just doesn't want to be bothered. How many people are here right now? You go to your work and don't fucking talk to me. That's Brock Lesnar. He's like, you guys are great. Leave me alone. He doesn't want to be bothered. The guy grew up in Minnesota on a farm. He got like three people he talks to.
He's in
Canada
now.
Yeah, exactly. He's gone up there. He talked about it on the Stone Cold podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, he doesn't want to be bothered. That's it. Just leave him alone. But he likes dudes. You see the things, like, when he worked with Taker, like, they were awesome. He works with other guys.
He'll work. He'll do whatever he has to do to work when he has his own downtime.
Leave me alone. Don't bother me. I don't want to sign anything. I want a picture with you. Screw you. Like, look at me from afar and wait. That's what you get. You got to pay for it.
Exactly.
But, all right, so we both got Roman going over. The future leaves a lot to be discussed. The second championship, obviously, is on the Raw side. Bobby Lashley, your incumbent champion, with Kofi Kingston I'll let you, you get the first one on this one.
Is that a black joke?
Wow. Wow. Wow, we're like, wait, hold on, wait, I gotta, we're 49 minutes into this podcast, I got a racial joke thrown at me. Damn, man. Come on, man, you know you're the yin to my yang. Come on, man, that's messed up.
It was opportunity there.
All right, anyway. That's for me to say, hopefully Drew McIntyre cashes in, what, because he's white? No, because I want to see. So, Lashley or Kingston, who you got, man? Do you want to see the Kofi Mania run wild, or are you thinking the Almighty is going to squash? I would love to
see Kofi Mania again.
What?
I would love to see it again, but I'm going Lashley.
Are you enjoying the
run that Lashley has right now? I think he deserves it to be a little longer, because he's only had against Drew the first, 6 months?
Yeah. He's paid his dues.
He's paid his dues.
Remember the ECW run?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Wish I didn't remember it.
Yeah, listen. But he paid his dues. He left. He came. He went to Impact. Won the title. Came back. He was like, "Hey, this is what I got to do."
Champion. I want to see Lashley have a legitimate, solid, good run, a little longer run. So I think he's gonna get through Kofi. He's gonna get through Goldberg.
Oh yeah. Oh, no doubt. I think he holds again another guy. I don't see anyone on that roster.
I don't think Lashley's gonna have it for that long. If Lashley makes it to, say, Survivor Series as champion, that'd be something.
But it might be
kind of like, what the hell? But
even like swerve wise with money, well, now the Money in the Banks will now be given out. But I always look at who's, and I'll talk about this in a minute when we get to the other match too, the men's Money in the Bank. But who's gonna take it off of Bobby? That makes sense. You can give it to anybody. You could bring up, Gargano from NXT and beat Lashley. Oh, my God! But does it make sense? Is there a long run behind that? Does it, make sense to take it away from Lashley?
I think they're still trying to build up, Lashley and Lesnar at some point.
That match was, 8 years ago. Should have happened. Oh, man. Lesnar, right? You're talking maybe Survivor Series.
They were leaning towards it when Lashley first came back that year.
That's been a fantasy match for years. I've wanted to see Brock Lesnar. But those two dudes. But that's the thing. Those two big hosses in a ring together.
There was a match that should have happened that never happened, which would have been great. Is Batista and Lesnar. Batista and Lesnar would have been pretty
big
special.
Dave. Ooh, would
have been pretty special back in the day.
Because I'll tell you right now, Goldberg and Lesnar sucked. I've seen a lot of matches in my life.
They did better at 33. At WrestleMania 33, it was better.
A little bit. But they were both on their way out. Austin didn't even want to be the ref. They literally put him in that match because they knew the other two no one wanted to watch it. They were like, okay, well, Steve, go do this.
I like Goldberg, but Goldberg,
He's got four moves now, bro.
He's one of the most overrated guys in history.
Oh no, they fed him. They fed him in WCW. He was what they needed at the time. That streak when if you watch the documentary, it was one of those things where
I can't name on top of my head maybe one solid legit Goldberg match.
No,
that I totally like.
They're all squashes.
For guys, people listening, I'm definitely a predominantly WWE guy, so there was only so much WCW I did watch back in the day, but I still dabble in every now and then because I got the network. But
you mean Peacock?
Peacock.
Cheap pop. Network,
same thing. But I think, it's just you can name any wrestler I can think of at least one match that stands out to me.
Goldberg has
I can say five star that match was
One of the only matches I can think of.
Name one guy.
Are you talking him in ECW or his entire career?
I'm just asking name. Well, I would say maybe his entire career, but also
Triple H.
Goldberg, Triple H.
Armageddon.
Armageddon. That was Unforgiven.
Unforgiven. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was the first one in my head. I went with Armageddon.
Armageddon was a triple threat with Triple H and Kane.
Armageddon is where all of Evolution won the gold because they were the last team that entered into the tag team turmoil. That's what I was thinking. Unforgiven. That match was good. That match was good. As far as his WWE run,
I would say me being biased, Goldberg's best match was against The Rock because it was in our hometown of good old Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester!
And I was there, and it was awesome.
Both of us were there. I mean, Mike didn't even know each other at the time. We were both at the pay-per-view, not knowing.
I was 14 years old.
I was Well, what? So I was, what, 16?
Yeah. I'm a whole
2 years older?
Yeah.
There you go. So I was 16. Yeah. But yeah, we were both there, and see, that match was, that was Goldberg, like,
But I
that was classic Rock heel, though. That was good. That was such a good match, though.
2003 Hollywood Rock.
Oh, Hollywood Rock. Heels. Your whisker biscuit bald-headed bitch. Oh, I'll never forget that line. That I'll be on my deathbed. I won't forget that. Oh, man. But I know what you're saying, though. Like, but if, in WCW, if you watch someone,
like I said,
they fed him. They were just giving him dudes, man. It was ridiculous.
All of his matches no longer than like 3 minutes, 2 minutes, if that.
I mean, it says a lot to that. I mean, the fact that they had to beat him with a kettle prod to get the belt off of him. It was actually funny to get on a segue. So I met Kevin Nash and Scott Hall actually this past weekend, and somebody's kid. I had my belt signed, and somebody was getting their stuff done, and one of the kids goes something about Goldberg. And Nash goes, "What?" Like, loud. Like, and I'm like, I'm over by the Funkos. I'm like looking around.
Is he drunk?
No, he was fine, but he went, "What?" And he says something about Goldberg beating him. And the dad was like, no, that's not. And he's like, "Goldberg didn't beat Nash." I was like, "Nash beat Goldberg." I think obviously he was a little kid. He wasn't trying to get. He got tight. And I was like, "Oh, wow." That was like, Nash only beat the streak. You know, that's all Nash did. And this guy, Kevin, got mad. But it was just a little funny tidbit about it. But yeah, dude, like, I mean, Goldberg's going to come back. Lashley's going to fall in half. It's going to be Goldberg's going to do, he'll spear him within 30 seconds. He'll jackhammer him. Lashley will kick out. Hurt lock. Boom. Game over. Let's move on.
Goldberg takes like 4 bumps a match. Maybe.
If you pay him enough for the fourth.
Yeah, it's just, that formula doesn't work.
So, I love Kofi Mania. I think it's amazing. But to what you said, I think Lashley deserves this run. He's going to keep the run. I think he's going to keep going. He's going to have this. Mm-hmm. For how long, we don't know. That's another thing to discuss. But I think he's definitely going to walk out of Money in the Bank champion. Sucks for Kofi, man. I miss...
Yeah.
Kofi deserves it, man. He really does.
Both on Lashley.
I put it on that. All right. So, not to know if it's the main event or not, but the last big match... is the men's Money in the Bank.
Is that all the matches right there?
That is all the matches.
All right, cool. All right,
so we got Drew McIntyre, Riddle, Ricochet, Morrison, and then we got Big E, Kevin Owens, King Sei, Nakamura, and Seth Rollins. So again, I'll take from yours. I'll do the who I think will.
Yeah.
I want Big E to win it. That's my 100%, like, I want him to win it. Who I think is going to win it, and it kills me to say this because I'm a huge fan, and he carried the Thunderdome through this entire pandemic. I think Drew McIntyre is going to walk out of there with that Money in the Bank because he cannot challenge Lashley any other way, and you're going to give him that chance to, "I'm going to cash it in this week on you." And you're like, "Oh, maybe it's not." He's going to walk out with holding it up. But I think this is really Big E's time to shine. I think really he's deserved it. He's really busted his ass. And really Big E needs that. This is really to put him over the top as a singles competitor and give him the opportunity to finally hold the title. That's what I think. I think it's going to be a hell of a match. These guys in it. My biggest thing every year is when you put main event dudes in the Money in the Bank match. There is no reason to put them in. They have their ticket. You want the mid-carders, the little guys that you won't even get a sniff at the title picture. Your Riddles, Morrison, for example, like, yeah, he's like, misses, like, you know, he carries his bags, which is great, but him winning that
time for them to split that up.
Him winning that briefcase, though, like, that's, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, that could put, like, up to the upper echelon. But, so I want Big E to win it, but I really feel like Drew's going to walk, climb that ladder and walk out with it. Claymore and guys off of ladders. That's what I think. What do you think?
I'm gonna pick three. I'm gonna pick who I think.
That's like, it's almost half the field. You can't pick three dudes. Like, that's, come on, man. That's like the Royal Rumble. I got 10 guys. No, that's a third of them. You can't do that.
I think, like I said, there's like who I want to win, who I think, and I think a dark horse.
Oh, we have dark horses. I gotta do my dark horse then.
I'll do your dark.
Who's your Ricochet.
Dark horse? Ricochet.
Ricochet is my dark horse. Huh. He was almost done. I'm surprised he survived.
I'm glad,
I'm surprised he survived Dark Monday. Like, I thought he was gone. Like, I was like, dude, when I found out he wasn't one of the names, I went, oh, he's doing something right. The fact that now he's got, like, kind of a resurgence, him and Morrison. Yeah. Those matches are fire, by the way.
They are fire.
Him and Morrison, in front of fans, when there's not mats behind the, the sidewall.
I was like, wait, no, wait, what? God.
I saw that, like, there's no way. And then, like, the camera panned over, and you saw, like, a little corner or something. I'm like, oh, you ruined it. Yeah, so my dark horse would be Ricochet then, if that was the case. But please, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
I might actually just have two, but I was just thinking about it, because I'm gonna pick Drew.
Drew?
I'm gonna pick.
That's
Drew.
Your pick for who you want to, or who you think's gonna win? Like, who they want to win?
That's who I want to win.
You want Drew to win?
But here's how I see it. Like, I know
he's honestly only gotten 17 opportunities.
In a way, I kind of don't know. I just think it'll be really sweet if Big E wins it. I'm gonna say Drew is my pick, and he's my pick to win. Who I think will win?
Mm-hmm.
Crap, this one's hard for me. I don't know.
It's tough. It's a really good field. Like, all these guys.
It's a good field, but, like, I just feel, I'm looking at it as, like, who are they gonna, like, push more?
And even as I'm thinking about this.
I guess Big E. I'll say I want Drew, and I think it's going to be Big E. But I think with Big E, and maybe just a tad bit too early. I think he has been busting his ass for the past, you know, for however long.
Yeah, he had a great IC run, him and Apollo.
I think it'll be better for Big E to have
great drum match.
To have something a tad bit more organic. Like, as in the sense of, I'd rather have him win a number one contenders match.
So now come out of this as a loser, but then, like, even, like, almost to the fans, that more of a longing, and then when he finally gets the number one contendership,
comparing it kind of to Kofi's first run and what they did with Jeff Hardy back in the day.
Okay.
Because Money in the Bank, I mean, yeah, it's a star-making match. It's fantastic. But then when they have it, they only just keep it till they decide when's a good time to catch it. So I see Big E. If Big E wins it, he'd probably be holding on to it for God knows how long. I even would be cool if Big E won the Royal Rumble.
I would love a Big E Royal Rumble. That would be amazing. Money in the Bank is the one thing where you have to guess. You give it up to creative and give it up to the company, because they know when you win it. Like, there is a plan for you. Like, Rollins knew when he won it. He knew the cash in was Mania.
Yeah.
But we all didn't even see that coming. We were like, oh, yeah, cool. Maybe they already knew that. Yeah, they knew. They were like, the cash was going to be with Roman. And they knew, like, what the plans were. That's what I'm saying. Like, whoever wins this, like, you're like, oh, okay, you kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they already know. They're like, you're going to cash in 8 months, this program, and that's where you're going to get your belt. And
My dark horse, I'm going with Johnny Drip Drip.
Okay, no, that's only a great. I like it.
I think now that fans are back, when John Morrison was announcing he was coming back, my first thought is he better be somewhere in a title picture, somewhere like.
Yeah, no.
Because you think about John Morrison's career, he's, I think, the only one left from, like, the original Tough Enough.
He is.
From Tough Enough 2.
Oh, RIP, Joey Mercury's eye, man.
Yikes.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Matt Hardy was like, you say, you're like, oh, man.
If anyone don't know the Joey Mercury eye incident, look up TLC, was it 2007? I think it was 2007. Armageddon, 2007. TLC match. Hardy Boys, Eminem, John Morrison, and Joey Mercury.
Yeah, that's the match. He busted his eyes right here. Yeah.
Against Paul London and Brian Kendrick, which, shout out to them. They were a phenomenal fucking tag team.
Yo,
Paul London and Brian
Paul
Kendrick.
Paul London, it was so underrated. I'm sorry, underrated, yeah. Man. And
they had
just
that,
like,
title, I think, for like 10 months, mm-hmm. almost a year. Like,
sliced bread, yeah. Brian Kendrick. Those the real were, Brian Kendrick.
Those guys were the best.
Man.
But I'd rather see Big E win it that way. That's just me. But Drew, I think also I'm picking Drew because, again, the fans, he carried it throughout the entire Thunderdome era. This is a really good opportunity for him to be in front of the fans with the title, you know, in the title picture. So I think he earns, he at least earns that. So I'm picking Drew.
Drew's your pick.
Drew's my pick.
That's your pick. All right, so you're gonna go Drew. I'm gonna take Big E. Alright. Yeah, that's my pick.
And any surprises you got going on?
I don't know. I'm trying to think, surprises? Man. I don't know. I mean, Becky Lynch is every pay-per-view now. Now she's cleared to wrestle. If you haven't seen the picture, she's amazing. She looks amazing.
It's weird. I saw her photos of her when she was, like, pregnant, like, mm-hmm. like really long. And those photos she posted with Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. I was like, she looked hotter. Like, better.
Yeah, right?
Than, like,
she
like,
looks great. I mean,
she's always looked great. Becky's
she
always
lost She's lost all. She You wouldn't even tell she had a baby. And she looks great. It looks awesome. And she's ready to go any day now. So, I mean, she could always pop out. Every time we talk about surprises, I like just say CM Punk just because I want to be right. But it's probably never going to happen. If he goes anywhere, it'll be AEW. He'll
fans,
be all elite.
We got to like stop the CM Punk chance.
Oh, you got to stop the chance. It's never going to stop it. Because he'll wait. He'll wait till the chance stop, and then he'll come back. And then he'll be like, oh, I thought you were gone. And mm-hmm. nope. He'll be all elite before he goes back to WWE. Like, he'll go there and rise them, and he'll be like, oh, hey, I'll come back for a couple bucks. Like,
yeah, whatever. He did a movie. There's a movie called, I think, The Girl.
Is that the one with the, he has a stash? Is he a cop?
No, he's not a cop.
No, there's one who's a cop.
Really?
There's a new one, yeah. He's got a stash and fall out of hair.
There's a movie where
I was like, yikes.
CM Punk's in like a little horror thriller movie. It's like the girl in the upstairs.
Girl on the third floor. Girl on the third floor.
Girl on the third floor.
Yep.
It's actually a pretty good movie.
You seen it?
I saw it.
I haven't seen it.
I think it was on Netflix.
No, is he the protagonist? Is he the antagonist?
He's the protagonist.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually pretty decent.
I have to check that out.
I mean, not like amazing fall, not like amazing, but you're going to watch it.
I'm
going to
start doing movie reviews now. Something I got to check out.
So,
but surprises wise, yeah, man, maybe Becky Lynch. Brock Lesnar's always on the radar. You never know. That's pretty much it. I mean, I really can't see anyone else like popping out or jumping up and making it. I mean, obviously NXT stars are always that's a thing. Yeah. So that's that.
That's Money in the Bank, friends.
That's Money in the Bank. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. And we'll obviously talk about in the next episode the results, and we'll see who's right and who's wrong, and make fun of each other from there. All right, awesome. Take a quick break. We'll be right back and talk about some football stuff, some Richard Sherman stuff I want to get into as being a Niners fan. He's a free agent, but some sad stuff we want to talk about and just dive into that. And, yeah, get into that and go maybe talk some football as well. All right, cool. We'll be right back with you. I'm John Anthony here with the mic. We'll be back soon. All right, you're back live with John Anthony and the mic on Chair Shot Sports. Hope you guys are having a good night out there. So now we're done talking about Money in the Bank. We kind of want to get into some other stuff. We kind of want to talk about hit over to the football side of things and some stuff that's been in the news lately. Like I've told you before, being a Niners fan, Richard Sherman recently has been in the news, has some issues domestically with his wife.
Richard Sherman.
And his kids. ex-Seahawk, ex-Niner now. He's a free agent, unfortunately. Probably will be for a little bit. Recently had the cops called for a domestic dispute call to the house. A little inebriated with some stuff, and yeah, it's kind of some sad stuff to hear about him. But I guess he got brought in. He's pled not guilty to 5 misdemeanors, like in court. That's a lot, bro. That's not one or two.
It's punishable, I think, up to like a year because they're all misdemeanors.
Yeah. Well, the fact is, he got denied.
90 days to a year.
He first got denied bail. The judge was like, "Yeah, no, you're not getting bail. You're not going anywhere, bro. Get in the pen. You're not going anywhere." It sucks because, like, again, I've seen him play for a bit. He's a great guy, great player. He leaves it all on the field.
I have a lot of respect for Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Like, that's one dude I know I can say that talks the trash and
backs it up. And you know, as a Pats fan, like, the Niners, yeah, you've seen him from being with the Seahawks, you've seen him, like, pretty sure he did a number on you guys, this last, beating we put on the Pats. But
was he even playing?
Oh, he played. Yeah, he played. He played a couple
that
snaps.
That was weird. That was such a weird game.
The score was so high, everyone played for the Niners. But it was. I mean, I think it was like 35-3 at half. I don't know.
That was such a weird game to watch, man. Because like the Patriots were definitely a weird team to watch last year. But like, Oh, dear Lord.
But like we've talked about, so I've told you I like the Niners. I'm a bro. Like, so the Mike didn't really talk about it much. I'll let you tell him. Like, Pats fan. Are you a totally Pats, New England guy? Pats.
See, also, I guess, like, from New England-wise?
Yeah.
Football, Patriots. But okay. I get a lot of shit because I have two favorite teams. I love the Arizona Cardinals. I got a team in the AFC, a team in the NFC.
Both of which my team beat both of his team's ass every year.
I don't know about that.
How's Kyler Murray doing right now? Okay, I'll wait.
I'm pretty sure that the
They got one game on him. I'll give you that.
Did Arizona sweep?
No, it was a split.
We did have that one bet.
You had one good, one bad. It was okay.
No, we did have one bet something on Facebook. I said about if one of them, I think if whoever if one of our teams split, then we split the money. I forget what I said. I think it was $50 per game.
Okay. This year, right?
This year.
We did $50 a game, or whatever happened. Yeah.
And if
it's a sweep, $100 to one or the other. We keep the money. Yeah.
Exactly. But if one of the teams makes the Super Bowl, another $50. I gotta find the post. It's somewhere.
Let's see what happens.
There. You can easily.
Let's be honest, man. Both of our teams are gonna get assed by Tom Brady. They're gonna win another fucking eight. Like, let's be honest about it. The NFC is such a toss up. It's like, oh, Brady's there. Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Anyway, I've been all Patriots. The Minnesota Vikings play a special place in my heart because they're my first favorite football team that I got into. The 98 season, Randy Moss rookie year. Randy Moss, he's my all-time favorite.
Randy Moss.
All-time favorite NFL player. It literally breaks my heart to never see him host a trophy, get a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it literally almost
crushed. One of the all-times to not have it sucks, man. He's up there with, like, Marino and those guys to not get that ring. It sucks.
Yeah, it totally sucks. Wish he got one. Wish that 2007.
PC. Damn you, Eli Manning! That would have been
so sweet. But anyway.
But yeah,
Patriots. I love hockey. I'm a Bruins fan. Baseball, I'm not much of a baseball guy. I'm just not. Basketball, never really been much of a basketball guy, but I do enjoy it. So, yeah, I'm a Celtics man.
Do you have a team? Do you have Celtics?
Yeah, I go with Celtics. Celtics and...
These episodes are going to get so much better as the other seasons come around. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. I can't wait.
We
agree on the Sox, though, so we're good.
Yeah, but mainly football. I'm all like football.
The mic is all about football.
When we get to the baseball stuff, you're gonna take the lead with that one.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's all you.
Well, I'll do those shows while you're up filming, and I'll do the solo films about baseball. But yeah, so Sherman, the biggest thing, my takeaway, like we've talked about this, and I think my biggest thing is it just needs to bring that more of awareness. I think with CTE, you saw with Junior Seau, he had some issues.
Did he get CTE?
Huh?
Did he get CTE?
He did. Wait, Suit Sale?
No, I'm talking about Richard Sherman.
That's what I'm thinking. Because with Junior Sale,
there's no way to detect CTE until after they're dead.
You can, though. There's ways they do it now, I guess, with brain scans, really? Things like that. Oh. But he has to be willing to lay down to get the MRIs, get the scans.
Yeah.
But he has some of this behavior that he has. I mean, again, not being totally off the wheels, like three bottles deep. Junior Sale tried to drive himself off the road three times. Tried to drive a bridge to kill himself. Said a lot of attacked his family for no reason whatsoever. He had a happy marriage, happy kids. They had to call to the house for domestic disputes, things like that. Sherman, before this incident, he had an issue where he ran his car to a guardrail, and then they were like, "What happened?" And he was like, So my thing is Sherman. If you watch Sherman, you know this. Watching him, whether it's the Hawks or the Niners, he leaves it all on the field. He goes hard. He hits hard. And my worry is for someone like this, and just anybody that's been in the league for 10 seasons or more. It's a thing, man. And they can fix the helmets. And Sherman, the helmets. What 2 years ago they just started making like the new helmets. Two, three years ago, maybe.
Every year they come out with some kind of new helmet.
But I mean, like, before they actually started actually admitting that, okay, God, these guys, their brains scrambled egg, and we got to do something about it. My thought is, someone like Richard Sherman could have the onset of the CTE. That's my thoughts. Because if you see the video, I'm sure some of you have, and you hear the audio from the call. Have you heard the audio from the 911 call? I wish I pulled it up for the podcast. I haven't. And if you're listening, you heard it. So pretty much, the I wish I could pull it up. I can't do it right now. The dispatcher is asking his wife, like, what's going on? Who's there? Her name. And she's like, okay, I'm Richard Sherman's wife. Like, it's Richard Sherman. He's hurting himself. The dispatcher literally is arguing with his wife. Like, well, don't cut me off. I'm trying to do my job. Please let me talk. And, like, literally not the way. I guess from what I've heard, she's been suspended because obviously the audio came out. But literally, like, not, like, almost like a don't care kind of thing. Like, don't cut me off. Like, yeah. She's asking, like, what's his birthday? What's how tall is he? Is he Caucasian or what?
Yeah.
What does it matter? She's like, he's banging down my father-in-law's door. Get here. What the problem is, like, what does it matter? I don't care if you're white, black, male, female. Someone just said, if someone's banging down my door, send the cops. And you're like, what's his date of birth? Who's this? And you, if you have a chance, go listen to it. Like,
if they're trying to describe him, like, yeah, his height and like what's he look.
Yeah,
like,
and she's
that's fair.
They didn't ask. No, they didn't even ask. That was like earlier in the call. She said like, I think yeah, gave his height, gave his weight, but then she starts asking all these other questions, and she's like, is anyone hurt? She's like, no, he's in his car. He's trying to get in the gate. I won't let. He's trying to leave because he tried to do the thing with the car a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Excuse me, and he tried to leave. She locked the gate to the house. He couldn't leave. And she's like, he's trying to leave. It's Richard Sherman. Please, there's someone here. And the lady literally is asking, like, what's his birthday? Like, what's this and that? Like, in the other, what's the license plate? Just,
wow.
My thoughts on the whole thing is I think it's a CTE issue. I think it needs to be something that's brought up around the league for these guys. Like, they every Sunday they're out getting, we're spending thousands of dollars on, they're making millions of dollars. They need to be able to have a family after they're done with the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And,
See a lot of guys retiring early because of it. I mean, Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, they don't want to get to that point where they don't remember who their kids are, who their family is. They don't remember who the hell they are when they wake up. They
can't play with their family anymore.
They can't walk. They can't get up in the morning. They can't use their legs. They can't walk.
A lot of guys going maybe like a good 7-10 years in the league, and then they're calling quits.
You definitely see a lot more early retirements now in the NFL.
In a sense, it's kind of smart nowadays. I mean, because now there's so many opportunities for guys to discover different avenues. You get into acting, getting into different kind of business.
Yep.
You can
broadcast. You get in the booth. Yeah, you can get right in the booth. Exactly.
You know, so many different avenues. And it's like, a lot of players, like, look at Gronk. Like, Gronk is, he's set. He's won Super Bowls. He's won MVPs. He's been in Pro Bowls.
And now he's got Monster, CBD line. He did Fox. He's now he's back playing for Tampa Bay.
He's just
winning
he's
rings.
Legit just playing because he wants to have fun.
Let's be honest, though. Gronk, and
he has nothing else to chase.
How he is was way before football came along. Yeah. That caveman mentality was way before football. I'm Gronk. I play football. That's it. Like that. It's almost like an I am Groot kind of thing. Like,
we're not even going to mention Gronk in WWE.
Oh, don't talk about it. For the record, though, if you read about it, like, they actually were gonna do some things. I'm not talking WWE champion, but they had some things planned. And then the fact that he was like, "Hey, I'm going back to win a ring with Tom," they were like, "Screw you, bro!" Like,
I mean, let's see, more money, and then it's like it was what sucks. But I think what sucks with that because it was COVID. Like, if it was fans, if they were able to do it.
Oh, right? Dude, he would have.
Gronk came in Performance Center WWE
before it was even the Thunderdome and the whole nine.
I mean, it was just literally no one.
They're doing drops off of the railings and stuff onto like pads. You're know, like, what?
I remember when I was watching guys cut promos in the Performance Center with no audience, no reaction or anything like that.
Oh.
For me, being a theater guy in acting, that was like watching a rehearsal for a show. That's what it felt like. It felt like watching rehearsal for the show. Because many times where I go to rehearsal and like someone else is doing their scene, I'm sitting there just watching them and they're going away.
Yeah.
And then like sometimes I'd see Cena like, you know, not stumble, he never stumbles, but like see guys, you know, doing their thing. I'm like, so I was going to call line. And calling line means when you do theater, if you're rehearsing your scene,
yep,
and you forget your line, you say line and the stage manager will just feed you the line.
Right.
They'll say the first two or three words or whatever.
Kind of catch you up
in your brain. Catch you up and then you get the whole line in.
Right.
Or they'll say the whole line, then you gotta do the whole thing.
That's probably the biggest thing I feel like with the Thunderdome. I mean, I know as it evolved and they put up the people and things like that, when it was like, it's like you're still, there's no one there.
Yeah.
Like, you see what they want you to see. It's still just like doing like a dry rehearsal almost the whole time, but it's actually live. Or Memorex, because they tape some things too.
Well, so. Back to Richard Sherman. Yeah, that's a guy I have a lot of respect for. A lot of respect for him. It's too bad that he's going through what he's going through. But, you know, I think for as a CTE thing, I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's probably a lot of things going in his own life that just probably starting to catch up to him that he just can't get over.
Yeah. He has come back. He
two
has...
Super Bowl losses, losing to the Patriots in the fashion that he did. And...
Yeah, those pads will put a hurt on you, bro.
And losing to the Chiefs. And maybe not necessarily feeling like the player. Yeah, I think Sherman, he's still a fantastic player. But he's not Legion of Boom Sherman.
No. I mean, from what we got for the Super Bowl run with having him, like, it was like... Not a, like... You got Richard Sherman Amazon, who you had with the Boom. And then you got Wish version... Richard Sherman, like, he was still amazing, but it just wasn't the same. Like, he was getting routes he's getting burned on. You're like, oh, duh, yeah. Bro, like,
or just getting totally run around. Like,
oh, dude, he got, yeah.
So,
but
yeah, he came out with a statement. And he like made his apology. He said it was, you know,
yeah, he's remorseful. Obviously, yeah. He's upset. You know, I mean, even his wife, because they kept asking about if he's gonna hurt anybody or you hurt. He tried to box the father-in-law. Didn't touch the wife. Didn't even look at the kids. Nothing like that, violent-wise. So, he's just going through a lot, man. It sucks. Like, he's a free agent. Like, the Niners, like, being a Niners fan, being...
You gotta think, you know, being...
He won a lot of money. The Niners were like, dude...
At his stage of his career, how many guys are looking at him? How many teams are looking at him? How does he feel if he can still play the way he can? And he did, what? He suffered that Achilles injury.
Yep.
A couple seasons ago, which ended his season.
Mm-hmm.
That was his first year with the Niners?
Yep.
So, yeah. That's tough to come back from. So,
and it's tough, too, like you said. Like, you're getting older. You have the Achilles tendon. It's always... Once you get an injury like that, you're looked at like, not damaged goods, but you're like, there's a question mark. Like, can we count this guy for, at least 12 games?
Small
like, can we look, at least look at you for at least 12 of them? He wants to get paid. Like, he wanted to come back to the Niners for a lot of money. They were like, no, we like you, but we'll, deal. Maybe you got to be a bench guy. Maybe you're not starting the game. Maybe you're coming in the second half. Like, that's I feel like mentally as a football player, when you start.
I've got to pick three teams to sign Richard Sherman.
Right now, after everything going on? Or before?
Right now. Let's say right now.
Right
now. If he was playing this season. Which I think he'll get to a team. I think he will. I don't think what he did now is like, they got to let that go through.
I don't think it's anything horrible. He's not going to end up exemption list.
He might get a suspension. He might be like maybe like a 6-game suspension or something.
I feel like with misdemeanors, if a lot of them get dropped, obviously from the family, I feel like you're looking at a fine. Maybe you say six.
I say six.
Maybe four. He'll appeal it. Get two.
He's never been in trouble before.
He's like clean cut. He's pretty like you don't hear a lot about him, man. Mm-hmm. It's like, so three teams you think?
Three teams. I think Cleveland would be a good spot.
Okay.
Cleveland signing Richard Sherman would be a good spot. I mean, I'm trying to think of who they have on defense, but like they're a team that's actually coming like, on the up.
Cleveland's definitely have better days ahead of them.
They get Richard Sherman, you know, to tighten things up. It'd be kind of like how my Arizona Cardinals got J.J. Watt. In so many ways, that's not too bad.
That's gonna be interesting to see.
Cleveland. Let's go with. I hate to say this one. Maybe Buffalo. Maybe Buffalo.
I feel like Buffalo has a spoilment of riches right now. Like, they're just getting so many dudes. Like,
I'm trying to think of teams.
Diggs and all these dudes. And I'm like, guys, come on, man.
I'm trying to think of teams that are just like one, like, at least legit.
One player.
One player or veteran away.
Well, if you're that, let's just go to Kansas City and just stack up that roster.
I want to say New England, but I don't think New England. They're not going
to. You know what, though, with New England?
I think if Gilmore were to leave, then like Richard Sherman should be.
If there's anything Double B likes, is a reclamation project. Like he loves, like he took in Corey Dillon, he took in Randy Moss. He's a bad boy. Like he takes in these guys.
Fucking what is his name? I can't even think of those guys. I'm a Patriots fan. Fucking Ronnie Harrison.
Yeah. Like that's what I'm saying. Like you take these guys in, man, and like that's Sherman. But Sherman, he would tell Sherman, listen, you got to earn your spot. And he's like, oh, okay, great, yeah, no problem, Bill. Okay, great. He goes out there and kills it. They go in a fucking ring. God. Not with Cam Newton, though. That's a whole other episode. Oh, man. That's going to be it. That's going to be it with our 2020-2021 season preview. So.
Third team. Just running down a list of teams that could be really, really good from every division.
For what it's worth, 2-1, if you gave your three. So what I got...
Tennessee.
Tennessee's another one, dark horse. They're literally putting the piece together really quietly about what they want.
Now
with Julio on the offensive side, like, you look defensively, you put someone like Sherman, who's on their game and healthy.
Like, these are teams that are, like, right at the cusp.
Yeah.
That can make, that can do something.
Tennessee, I mean, there's the cusp, and then there's, I mean, you got Julio and you got Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Like, you look on the defensive side of that, they're already pretty solid. You put someone like Sherman, not only are you looking at someone who can start, but you're looking at, like, that knowledge that can take those little guys and then be like, Come here, Grasshopper. Let me talk to you.
He'd be a leader.
And he puts that on them, and like that championship mentality. Like, you know, he brought to the Niners and he brought that defense together. They were a couple plays away. Thanks, Mahomes.
Yeah, he's got the
yeah, so, but
Niners,
no. Like,
Niners had that game.
We had it. Shanahan blew it. Say it till the day I die. Shanahan blew that game, man. I'm telling you. Do you have any other faith in Jimmy G? And let's run the ball off fucking quarter. Okay, great. Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks.
Jimmy G had the game. He overthrew.
Wide open. Wide open.
Was it Kendrick Bourne?
No, it was the Bourne. Guys got skillets for hands. The one that went to the Saints the year after. Yep.
My
I can't believe we're doing this. I can't.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Overthrew him. Wide open at the first down, and plenty more would have won the game. But I digress. But it could be the Niners. Lynch has come out. They're doing everything they can for the family, help. Whatever Sherman needs, they're going to pay for it. Whether it's, you know, rehab, whether it's mental health, whatever he needs, they're going to pay for it. Full out, no questions asked. I don't think the Seahawks.
He ain't going back to Seattle.
Huh? I mean, yeah, really no, great. He burned that bridge hard. Especially with Carroll still there. I think I agree with you, though, on the AFC side. I think someone like Tennessee, Vrabel would take that shot.
I just pick random teams, not specifically just for the AFC.
But no, I'm just saying, but, like, I'm just thinking, like, NFC-wise, I really don't see who in the NFC, like, is really going to... Green Bay's not going to take them. They're stacked. New Orleans doesn't need them. Like, I'm just trying to think.
Yeah, I was thinking the same way, because the NFC is, like, either teams are good or teams are too bad.
Right, like, yeah, exactly that. Where they're like, hey, we'll pay you. Not, like, no, I don't want to go there. I'm good.
Like,
but Tennessee is definitely that team where they're like, this guy could flip the script. Like, this guy could really put us where, like, we need to be.
He's not going to fucking...
He's not going to go to Kansas.
He's not going to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota's not contending for anytime fucking soon.
Sorry, cousin.
And it's crazy that they keep, like, Minnesota gave Kirk Cousins so much damn money. It's like, Kirk Cousins is not... He's not the guy.
To throw that much money at somebody, to think Cousins he was going to bring you to the promised land, the like, dude. Come on, man. Like,
he is not, he's just not the dude. He is literally what Rex Grossman should have been.
Oh, man, he's Rex Grossman light. Like, that's...
No, he's the evolved form. Like, if Rex Grossman was a Pokemon, he evolves into...
He evolves into
Kirk Cousins.
What's the third formation? What's he evolving to for the third
formation?
What's the third one? What's the third of evolution?
Well, this one has to be at least like JBG.
Yo, come on, man. Like, I mean, like, come on, man. Like, man. Come on, short game, no long game. Jimmy G is Kirk Cousins, but a little bit more. Like, looks a little better, a little bit more. It's a couple more clutch games. No, but I think San Fran could be a spot if he comes out of rehab mid-season. You'll get, like, they bring him in, like, almost like not a goodwill, but like, hey, come on, we'll help you out.
Right. Like,
but I think if he goes anywhere, it's going to be an AFC team. I think you're thinking Tennessee, New England, if Gilmore does go, for what it's looking like, I think it's going to be a holdout.
I thought it was pretty earlier in the offseason, I was pretty convinced that Gilmore was going, and I was like, please, Arizona, grab him.
Gilmore is a force.
Fantastic.
And that's one thing I've said, like,
such a great addition for Arizona to get Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, I'm not a New England fan, but the players, like, I'm a Brady fan. I'll tell you, I love him.
Love Brady.
There's some guys in New England, man, that are like, you put them on another team, and it's just like, Gilmore is one.
Arizona did get.
You got one of the McCourties.
They got Malcolm Butler.
Oh, Butler, yeah. I thought before McCourty came back.
Got one of McCourties.
No, McCourty was on. Wasn't one of the McCourties down in Arizona before he came back to New England?
No, he was not. it was Devin McCourty has been with us.
I could have sworn it was a McCourty in Arizona.
No.
No?
No. Devin McCourty's been with the New England, I think, his whole career. His Jason McCourty, I think, bounced around, and he was in Cleveland. Try Jason McCourty.
Jason McCourty?
Jason McCourty. I look at look.
Because I feel like, I don't know, man. Let's see what happens. I don't know. I feel like he played for him, man.
You went down to Miami.
No, I knew that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you got me.
Yeah. So now that Malcolm Butler from Tennessee is now in Arizona, that leaves that spot open. They get Richard Sherman, so that's also good.
Yeah.
Good, you know, let me think about that.
Guess I'm stacking Arizona, man. I'm telling you, doesn't matter what you do.
Arizona, man.
Doesn't matter what you do, I'm telling you.
I love Arizona. It's not going to matter. But I still think Arizona should have went with Nick Bosa.
Yeah, you wish.
I wish, yes.
You wish.
I wish
a man is a force.
I wish they did. But Kyler Murray, he won Rookie of the Year. He's won a Heisman.
He's a great quarterback. He really is. He makes a lot of plays when they're over.
But
that shortness, though, I feel like it doesn't matter because they come at him.
He's like, 5'9"?
5'9".
5'9", yeah.
I think he's one of the shortest, but Breeze is gone, right? So he's one of the shortest
Breeze
quarterbacks.
Breeze was 5'10"?
He was the... McCourty, I think... Not McCourty. Murray, I think he is the shortest quarterback. But it doesn't matter, though, because when he drops back and he runs out, he's outside the lines, from the line, he can see down. It doesn't matter. But I just think the Richard Sherman thing really opens up a lot of avenues where you just need to look and be like, you got to take care of the players.
A lot of people...
Things are tough. It must be nice. Like, we stay at home, we watch them every Sunday, and yeah, it's great. They make millions of dollars. Well, you know, we have our day off from work, we drink our beer, go to Buffalo Wild Wings. But it's like, these guys have families too, and they have kids, and they're people. And
it's like, I want to see my players, you know, be healthy and see them
exactly.
play. But, you know, I want to see them, like, bust it up and hurt. And
yeah, it's just like, they go through a lot playing every day. They give 110% on the field, and I just think it needs to be more of an awareness for the CTE, man. Because, exactly. I mean, look at God, you know, God rest his soul, but Jesus, whatever the sayo and other stuff like that, so. But. Yeah.
Guys,
who you got winning? Real quick, before we get. Just real quick, off the cuff. Who you got winning the Super Bowl next year?
Super Bowl next year.
Super Bowl next year, right now. What you got? Oh, you say the Cardinals, you're off the show, I swear to God.
I'm going to say this every single year until it happens, because in 2015, it should have happened.
Oh, here we go.
You know where I'm going to go. I know where I'm
going to
go.
Yeah, go ahead, go ahead, yeah.
The New England Patriots Arizona Cardinals.
Oh my God. Oh man.
I'm gonna say I want that every year until it happens.
Yeah, I bet you do, yeah.
But this year I'm gonna pick
with Cam? Yeah, keep going, buddy.
Matt, after like game 3, game 4, if he ain't showing.
Oh yeah, get that Mac sauce?
Get the Mac sauce.
Yeah, bring the Mac sauce? Oh wow, okay. All right. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I sat here on draft night. I sat here on draft night, and everyone swore up and down that the Niners were taking Mac Jones. And I was just like,
no.
I was sweating so hard. And my wife, she lied. She watched the draft before I got home. And she was like, I'm trying to act all surprised. And they took Lance, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is great. And then we kept watching, and they took Mac Jones and the Pats. And I'm like, wow.
I had a feeling the Patriots were going to take Mac Jones. He was... It just fell like that.
He literally is almost just like not the new Brady, but he's your guy. Like, I mean, he didn't go in the 17th round.
But it's good. 1,355. See Patriots do something like differently, because they're so used to their own ways of doing things for the last 20 years since they had Brady. And
that's why you can't.
And now, like, they're like, oh crap, we actually need guys.
This is my problem. This is my problem as Niners fan to the past fans. Not necessarily you, because you get it. But like, you've had 20 years of dominance. Like, just crapping on any team that shows up in the Super Bowl. You lose, you go one team, 1 year 7-9, you're crying. Like, you're like, shut up. Shut up, dude. Like, how many banners have you hung on in your stadium? Like, stop it.
You know, I knew
there's teams season, that are praying at night to get one, and you're like, we got six, we're good. Like, get out of here, bro.
Like, it was like, think about it, like finishing 12-4 is a bad season.
Yeah, for shut up. Fans. I would listen to the talking heads up here, and they literally, yeah, they go 12-4, and they're like, oh, what a year, and I'm like, shut up. Like, what are you doing?
Like, there's a time I was thinking, you know, when I think it's like Patriots earned that time to suck. I was like, we could just look back, let everyone else have.
You
their
need
fun.
It. You had that time in the '80s, yeah, when like Pats fans like wore bags over their heads. And then Brady came along. I think you need some humble pie handed out on Sundays to everybody. But
like, what a fucking run!
Yeah, well, enjoy it. You guys are like the new Yankees fans.
Never be a run.
You guys are the new Yankees fans. Man, you guys went 7-9. Yeah, but we got six rings. Okay, listen, man. That wasn't this year, man. Stop it.
That's like reverse Giants fans. Giants fans love to tell talk about.
I hate Giants fans.
If there's teams that I hate, detest the most, that is Giants and Jets and the Steelers.
Why the Steelers?
Why did we hate the
Steelers?
They rubbed me the wrong way. They've always have rubbed me the wrong way for as long as I can remember. And in a lot of their players, no matter who they are, they're all dicks.
Roethlisberger's a huge dick.
They're all huge dicks.
I like Cordell Stewart.
I love and respect Mike Tomlin, though. I think he's
that man puts it up every year. He doesn't give it. He's like, well, we're out here, we're going to win a game, we lose, fuck it, we're still going to be out there playing the game. Like, yeah, that's, and Tomlin's like, just doesn't care. There's a lot of guys on the Steelers. Like, Polamalu came out of the Steelers. Like, he was good. Like,
there are players that I actually have a lot of respect for that came out of the Steelers. Troy Polamalu, one of them.
Yep.
Fantastic player.
Even Juju. Juju? Like,
he's a dick.
He's still good, though. Yeah, but he's still big and ball, though. Like, I mean,
Polamalu, Jerome Bettis.
Oh, the bus. Come on, man. That's back when Cordell Stewart was in his prime, too. Now you feel like a typical, sound like a typical Pittsburgh. I can't remember that guy's name, but he was good though.
I'm not remembering.
Terry Bradshaw back in the day.
Bill Cowher, I respect.
Oh,
Bill
dude, Cowher. That dude is he was a stand up coach, man, 110%. Dudes still call him now. They're like, hey, coach. Like, yeah. But yeah.
Fuck the Giants. Fuck the Jets. I don't care.
Fuck the Giants. Fuck the Jets. There's no. We're gonna piss off a lot of New York people on our fucking podcast.
If every year the Giants and Jets finish defeated, winless,
you know why the Jets will always suck no matter what happens. I'll keep me on my deathbed. I could have 15 kids and 16 grandkids. You guys had a butt fumble. Yeah, that's right. I hope there's a Jets fan listening. You guys had a butt fumble, man. Like, stop it. You will forever be tied to Sanchez forever and a day.
I got a friend who's a Jets fan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Really.
I'm sorry. My ex-boss is a Giants fan. I still got the job, so it's good.
My buddy, he's a good dude. I'm leaving him nameless right now.
Poor guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But there are definitely like times where he's just like sending me updates about the Jets, and I'm like, okay.
Well, you guys are 3-0. That's cute. Like, come talk to me in 10 weeks, like, to see where you're at.
Oh, quick, real quick. There's a joke that I not really joke, but this moment happened to me a couple years ago. That I was at work. I used to work for a valet company called Valet Park of America, horrible company. And I remember walking, just doing whatever, just not doing anything important. It was working at the hospital on Lake Ave.
Yep.
And a guy came up to me. And he said, what did he say? He asked me for the time. And I'm trying to remember what it was. It made me so laugh. He had a Giants hat. He had a New York Giants hat on.
Oh, well, that's a problem right there.
He had a New York Giants hat on. And he asked me for the time. And I believe I told him it was like 3:10. I think it was 10 past 3, 3:10. And I started laughing incredibly hard. He's like, what's so funny? I remember telling him, I said,
I don't know what's going on. Stop it.
Oh my god, that was a sweet moment. And he was just like, shook his head. And
that's too funny.
Yeah. What was that?
That is horrible. Horrible equipment that we have. All right. Well, we've covered Money in the Bank. We've covered Richard Sherman. I'm tired. You're tired. It's episode 2. We can't go out too much with everything.
It's all the building process, learning process.
All of it. The Twitter is going up in the next week. I'm sorry. I'm slacking. I apologize. I have to work for a living. I apologize. Me and the mic don't just sit at home and make podcasts. Because we would not be making money off of this. But yeah, the Twitter's coming. A text line is coming soon after that. And you guys can get wicked interactive with it. And yell at us and say mean things. And hopefully we have a call line at some point. And that's going to be really fun. Because then we can just dump people. I think you click, you're out. So, with that said, awesome. Well, it was good episode. Glad to have you here.
Awesome. For the next one.
Exactly. It's only going to get better from here. So, for the mic, I'm John Anthony. This is Chairshot Sports. And we will talk to you guys soon.
And real quick, as always, put some steak on it.
Mid-rare, baby.